Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Check out tens of thousands of technical articles on our new knowledge hub on farmersjournal.ie.
But first, when the EU Brexit trade agreement was reached on Christmas Eve, well, there was a huge sigh of relief. But, as they say, the devil is in the detail, and already we can see what friction in trade means, with footage from the UK and Europe showing big delays and backlogs. You would have seen it on news bulletins yesterday. So who's taking the horse to France? Do you remember that old slogan from the Kerrygold ad? Well, taking the horse to France might be a little more difficult now, as the reality of the costs and limits on transporting horses to the UK and to Europe hits home. The racing industry is watching to see if Willie Mullins' arrangement for bringing his horse, Grangey, to race in England yesterday without paying 19% VAT up front will actually become the norm from here on. And breeders are trying to figure out how the next post-Brexit world will impact on their business. So there's a lot of uncertainty about how things will work out in the long run when it comes to trade with the UK, but specifically this morning when it comes to the issue of horses going across the sea. And Suzanne Campbell has been finding out what's happening. I know this is an issue close to your own heart, Suzanne, in relation to the equine industry. So, and we heard that story about Willie Mullins on the sports news yesterday. So what is happening?
Good morning, Damien. Yes, it's really come to a head this week. I think the days of putting two horses on a trailer and going onto a ferry, bringing them to England to compete or to sell them, is really over. And we'll hear a little bit more about that in a while. I suppose this week what happened was the horse sector began to find that the land bridge in the UK won't work that well to bring horses to Europe. And the customs duty then, the big unknown on horses being sold to the UK, is also looking like it may possibly damage the trade. So looking at the sport horse sector for one second, even aside from racing, it's worth nearly $1 billion to the economy. It's got 14,000 rural jobs. And we actually send 18,000 horses a year to the UK, or that they move to the UK to Europe. And most of our sales are foals born on the ground between Connemara ponies, hunters, top show jumpers. 56% of those are sold in the UK. So in terms of the sales piece, we look at that first. As of today, as it stands, and as far as HSI know, or Horseport Ireland and the authorities here, it still looks like UK customers may have to pay 20% VAT on Irish horses. In effect, what happens now, because the UK is a third country, you need to engage a customs agent who takes possession of the horse. He brings it to Britain, charges VAT. So the customer pays, say, on a 10 grand animal, a 10,000 euro animal, it's suddenly 12,000 euro for the UK, 12,000 euro for the UK customer. Horses running in the UK, like Willie Mullins, that filly running at Market Raisin today, or show jumpers, horses competing. It looks like a solution may be found for that VAT situation. But talking to department vets here this week, we're specifically dealing with the Brexit regulations. Mares coming here this spring to stallions, and all transport from the UK, equine-wise, to Ireland are in an actually a worse situation, restriction-wise, and you know, periods of veterinary certification and quarantine and everything. However they work out this particular snarl up on VAT, the easy trade between Ireland and the UK is just gone. Ronan Rothwell in Wicklow breeds about 20 top show jumping horses a year. He trains them until four-year-old and competes them and sells them, with about 70% of his sold to the UK and the rest to Europe. He outlined to me the changes he's experiencing.
My first-hand experience is I have two young animals that were sold in 2020 and they're ready to be transported to the UK now. So it was a kind of unclear for the last couple of weeks what exactly would have to happen. But I've spoken to a transporter in recent days and they were just going to send their first load this week. Basically, there's a time lag from what would have been the normal procedure because they need to be inspected by a vet and certified that they're healthy and well. That veterinary report needs to be lodged with the Department of Agriculture. Then permission granted for export. So that takes about 3 days. Also, there needs to be customs clearance. There's a twofold issue with the expense of the paperwork and also the time lag that we've never had before with the UK. In the past, people could come to my farm, buy a horse, take it with them that day, go to the ferry and be at home in the UK with a horse that evening.
And in terms of bringing horses to Europe, which is also some of your marketplaces in Europe, Is the land bridge, is that looking at something that's going to be difficult? And what are the other routes and what are the disadvantages to perhaps bringing horses out from Rosslare to Cherbourg rather than that old route everyone used to use from Dublin Holyhead and down through England and out through Dover or thereabouts?
Yeah, I think the big issue here for the land bridge being extortionately more expensive than the other option is to go, as you say, from Rosslare to Cherbourg, which is a non-stop 18-hour at sea crossing. But the horses that will be crossing will have traveled from their home place to the port. So you can add on another maybe 3 hours minimum to that journey. I think the loser in all this is actually the horses, which is a sad reality, because when the transporters can use the land bridge, there's an opportunity to rest the horses twice in the UK when they land and before they depart. This, for me, is a big concern to transport the horses for 20 hours plus. It's a huge step backwards for animal comfort and welfare.
So now there are two big issues emerging, as he outlined. The new custom charges and veterinary certification needed to sell horses in the UK, and this land bridge issue, you know, sending them to Europe or competition for sale through England. This difficulty has happened not just because of the additional documents and costs, but because of the stops at Calais. Calais is treating the UK, perhaps harshly, it's treating it like a third country. It's treating it the same as Morocco or Norway. It is very much outside the EU. They will only process 3 horses an hour. It closes at 6 p.m. You can't bring large lorries through it. And the capacity for big loads that we have with transporters, the reality is the horses might be left standing for lorries on days, 4 days, unlike other freight, waiting to be processed. On Thursday evening this week, I talked to Deirdre Seal, who together with her husband Roy runs Seal Transport in Ireland, and they ship about 60 horses a month to Europe and Scandinavia for some of the top riders and sellers in Ireland. They were Brexit ready. They had their transportation authorisation. Their vehicles had been approved. They did a dry run over the UK, but found their trucks could not get through Calais. So she tried to get a load out through Rosslare. Their lorry was turned back on Thursday night, and she told me what happened.
So we were loaded, all set to go. We'd had the private veterinary practitioner come out, sign off, and then we had the regional veterinary officer from the Department of Agriculture cert stamped everything, good to go, on the road, and then a call from Stena to say, oh, sorry, the ship isn't actually certified to take horses. So we don't know when it's going to be certified. So we don't have the Rosslare-Cherbourg route at the moment, and nobody can tell us when that's going to be certified.
So is the lorry down in Rosslare at the moment?
No. It's home. It's home and the horses are unloaded, and some of the horses are pretty valuable. Like, and I know that there were quite a few other transporters that had been waiting to see what way things panned out, see if they could manage to work the land bridge because it's so much easier. And then we all realized that actually we can't. So we're preparing to try and use this new route. And now we've been sort of kneecapped again.
What does it feel like for, you know, being at the heart of a business that's transportation at the moment?
This is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. I'm dreaming about being on a boat and not able to get off because I don't have the right form. And then the form blows away into the sea. Living it constantly, and then people are ringing me, what do I know? It's so draining, it really is. And you're dealing with people's livelihoods, and you're trying to reassure them and tell them that we're going to work through it. But when our government doesn't have any skin in the game. They don't know what it's like to be on the ground and try and work in these scenarios. And we are world leaders. We're a small country, and we have best riders, the best producers. We are front and center of the world stage when it comes to the equestrian industry. I don't know what they've been negotiating or what they've been doing with the fine print and how they haven't foreseen the difficulty that this was going to be. I don't understand why us in the EU are unable to reaccess the EU. And then there's only 2 boats a day from Ireland to France. The bit that our government can control, Europe and France, they can bloody fight for that. And our governing bodies, HSI, HRI, should be championing this industry and making sure that we can still export and that our producers and our riders can still be competitive in the industry. Otherwise, we're going to be left marooned and everything's going to be happening in mainland Europe without us.
So you can really hear Deirdre's frustration there. And these trade difficulties are really all that everybody is talking about, Damien, at the moment in the horse sector. Emailing each other, contacting me because they knew I was talking to all the authorities this week and desperately looking for answers. I suppose we had this wonderful tripartite agreement between Ireland, between UK and France. It died on the 31st of December. And we can't then make a local arrangement with England to make these issues easier. We have to go back to Brussels and look at the fine print that must have been trashed out by civil servants, you'd imagine, in a hurry on Christmas Eve. And a lot of the articles of this agreement hopefully can be tweaked around and some kind of a solution be found.
Yeah, and as we said at the beginning, the devil certainly in the detail on lots of different areas, and this one particularly coming to the fore now. Suzanne, thank you very much indeed for your work on that, and it's a story we will definitely keep an eye on. So upheaval there as a result of Brexit for people involved in the equine industry, and